Good evening. This is Brother Green. This is Rivers in the Desert Ministry. And this evening, on this side of the river of life, we got a live wire this evening, folks. We got Tony Guitar Copeland, the great guitarist, Tony Guitar Copeland. And we're going to talk about some of the things that's going on, some of the doors that God is opening in his life. And I tell you what, he's going to let us sample, he's going to let us listen to some of his music off of his new CD. And you better hold on to your seats, because this brother here, his music is something else, I'm here to tell you. Tony, how you doing, bro?
I'm all right, I'm all right. How you doing, Brother Green? Doc Green is in the house.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, bro. I wanted to start out the broadcast. We're going to start out with listening to one of your clips, and then we're going to get back and we're going to do some chatting, all right?
All right, that's cool.
Okay. Man, I'm telling you, I'm liking that music. We've got a caller on the air. 1 second here. Let me see who this is. How you doing there, caller? You on the air?
Who, me?
Lou? Yes, you're on the air. Who, yes, indeed. Who
my
we have here?
Joe. My name's Joe Cantu.
Hey, how you doing, Joe? I appreciate you calling in. We've got Tony Guttar Copeland on the phone, and I know you were calling in to help out with the studio. We're going to give the floor to Tony, and if you've got some questions, you feel free to ask, and then we're going to get you tapped into the studio on the other broadcast, okay?
No problem. Let me listen in.
Thank
be blessed.
Thank you, bro.
Thank
brother,
you.
All
brother
right.
Tony.
Be blessed, brother. That's something great to hear. In light of all the things going on in the world, somebody said,
yeah,
be blessed. What a good sound.
Joe's got a, you know, I like Joe. Joe's got a willing heart, man. And he's the one that I was telling you about, that he reminded me of my friend in the ministry years ago, you know. And when God puts a willing heart in somebody, you got to get out their way, because the Lord will open their doors, you know.
Now, that's
and that's
true,
just,
you know.
Yeah,
that's
how God works, man.
The first thing you could do is stand in their way.
You got to move, because you're about to see something great take place when God puts a willing heart in somebody, you know, and puts a heart
well,
in somebody.
Well, he sounds like
do.
A winner.
He's a winner, man.
He sounds like
good
a winner.
People. Yeah, I like talking to Joe, man. Now, Tony, we're going to talk about Tony right now, though, man. Where you come up with these chords, bro?
Hey, let me ask you a question, though. The music that was featured on your intro, who is that playing the music?
I like that
groove.
That was me. That was some of the work that I put together. I've got a little controller board that I use, and I use the Reason software. And
Wait a minute. You're telling me, along with being a servant to people, and which is ministry, and along with being a radio owner, a radio station owner, and a radio host, you also are a writer and a musician?
Yeah, I don't talk about it a whole lot, and most of my tracks, I really sort of keep to myself. I only share with, you know, like, you know, close
too
friends.
Late, brother,
you know.
Too late. Let me tell you what Ron Smith, the guitar player, the former guitar player of Frankie Beverly and Maze, he told me one day. He said, you know, Tony, we was talking on the phone, him and I. He said, Tony, listen, once you put your music out there, so guess what, Doc Green? You're now a full-fledged artist. You're out there now. What's the name of the song? What's the name of it? I like it.
I wrote that song one time when I was stuck in traffic on I-45, and I called it I-45.
Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas.
I-45. Well, you know what? If my small opinion means anything, that's a winner. And, hey, who knows, we could get together and enhance it and make it what you want it to be. I like it.
Oh, thanks, man.
If you
want to
put it on
that.
Make It or Break It, I say make it.
Okay. You know, coming from you, bro, that really means a lot, man. That blesses my spirit, for real, you know.
All right.
Yes, indeed. Now, Tony, but this song here, I just want to let you know, man, you display your ability to sing, and you just, you know, and also the progressions in the song is just very advanced, you know.
Okay, can we talk about it?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about it. All right, as you know, I have a new album that's going to drop soon. The goal is September, next month. And the album is called Waterfalls. Now, people have been listening to different snippets from the album, but you will be able to purchase it at the various online networks on Amazon.com, CD Baby, wherever you buy music, iTunes, and we plan to get it in stores. We're looking to get it into Walmart also. Now, so I just want to let you know, the album actually... Five songs on the album were recorded. Four was produced by me, and one was produced by the world-renowned Felton Pilot of the famous R&B group Confunction.
Uh-huh.
And the story goes like this. Me and my manager, we went to Atlanta in 2013 to have him to produce his part on the album. That's Felton Pilot. Well, we got there on a Saturday, and that Sunday morning, Carol Williams, who's my manager, and Felton's wife, we went to church, to her local church in Atlanta. Well, Felton was tired from producing another project, so he stayed at home. When we returned from church that evening, he was standing there bright and smiley like he is, a very, very well mannered gentleman. And he said, "Hi. Oh, guess what?" He said, "I have a song ready for you, and it's one I wrote. It's called I Just Want to Let You Know." He said, "The only thing is it doesn't have lyrics." So he said, "Come on, let's go into the studio and listen to it." And man, Doc Green, when I went into the studio and he began to play those tracks that you just heard, he produced those tracks. I was flabbergasted. I mean, I was elated. It was like I'm standing before Prince, Michael Jackson, Felton Pilot, James Brown, James Ingram, and Quincy Jones, because this brother, he's magnificent. So I asked him, "That's for me?" He said, "Yeah." He talks fast. "Yeah, that's for you." I said, "Really?" He said, "Now I need you to go up there and write the words." So me and him became partners with that song, I Just Want to Let You Know. And I agree with you. Isn't the music fantastic? I love it.
Man, it jumps right out at you. It just jumps right out at you. And now he didn't write those guitar solos. I know that sounds like Tony Coates.
Oh, okay. All right. No, he didn't. But all the guitar parts was written by me. Tony Guitar.
What goes through your mind, Tony, when you go into these progressions, man, from one key signature to the next, all within that same solo? What do you be thinking?
You know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. And I have to say this, you know, to leave God out would be a detriment to my career. I was a boy musician and, you know, in the church, and God gave me the gift to play. And he gave me the gift to play where people call it, we call it play by ear. But what I believe God does is he placed a mechanism in you. He placed his spirit into you. And all you have to do is be the vessel. And he does the playing. So to answer your question, all I need to know is the key signature, tempo of the song. And what happens is, when it's time for me to play my part, I simply move my finger. And I'm telling you the truth. I mean, you know, this is not for the naysayers, for those who don't believe. This is for the ones who do believe and have faith. Because a lot of people have various gifts and skill sets, and they know they didn't teach themselves those skill sets. So I just pay homage to God, and that's what I do. I play from my soul. And then we listen to it.
Okay. Now tell me a little bit about your family, Tony, how you got started in music for the listeners.
Okay. All right. I'm from the East Coast. I'm from a state called Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, who's deceased, her name was Velma Copeland, rest her soul. She was a beautiful parent, a beautiful mother.
Amen.
And my father, his name is Floyd Copeland. He's still living. And they were in, the story goes like this. He and she met in high school. I think the school was called Crestwood. Yeah, it was called Crestwood High School. And he was in the choir, and she was in the choir. And that's how they met. Now, there's the music. There's the music magic right there. They were both singing. And they ended up having eight children. I'm the third oldest of eight children. Well, my mom, she gave her life to Christ when I was, before I was born. And so by the time I was born, she was taking us to church. Now, I'm from the Pentecostal faith, And she was taking us, we call it Holiness Church. She was taking us to church 4 or 5 nights a week. So she purchased me a guitar, the wind-up type guitar, and it made her sound like gloom, 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 gloom. Here's what she told me. When the spirit was high in church and the people started to dance before the Lord, I would get in the middle of the floor and wind this guitar as fast as I could go. And she said she realized that the gift of God of music through me was placed in my life. And so as we grew up, they had us to sing before people in churches, and we called ourselves the Copeland Singers. 5 sisters. It was 5 girls and 3 boys. I have 5 sisters, and it was 3 boys in this group. And we toured locally at different churches, and then it got larger, and we ended up playing, you know, the East Coast. We did D.C. area, Washington, D.C. area. And actually, when we went to Washington, we left with a busload of people. And that's how it all started, and we would practice and practice. And our neighbors, I called names like S.T., George Eason, and Johnny Wright, and Peter Hunt, and these guys, Moose, Darlene Sparks, they would come into our yard and listen to us practice. And that's how it started. Mm. Man.
Well, I tell you
I
what.
I mean, And what happened was we got older and older. I eventually went into, well, I started playing professionally. And I started playing quartet music professionally. And my mother and father allowed me to travel around with, I started with a group called the Spiritual Wonders. And then I started playing with a group called the Peerless Four. And actually, with the Peerless Four and the Spiritual Wonders, I did some extensive traveling all the way up the Eastern Seaboard. And with the Peerless Four, I traveled to the Midwest, the West Coast, all over America. At a young age. And that's where I honed my skills, in the church and on the road.
Yeah. You know, a lot of musicians come from a church environment. Why do you think that's so?
Well, I think it's so because, you know, you have the story of the different ethnic groups in America. You got the Asians, you have the African-Americans, you have the Caucasians, and, you know, the Italians, and everybody have their own culture. But in every culture, there is a religion. And when you have religion, music is a part of each religion. Even if you listen to Hindu music, if you into Buddhism, there is music. So in the religion and back to the African-American church, the young people, they have the gift of music, and they play music in the church. So most black musicians, even the ones you see on American Idol and MTV and all the music awards, BET Awards, they started in church because that's where our parents took us. They took us in church to help give us moral standards. But God placed the gift in us. And where else would he hone your skill except in his house?
Yeah. You know, I seen to get a little bit off the track, you know, I seen a picture of you holding this gray big old fish. Man, what were you doing?
You know what?
That fish was almost bigger than you were.
I'll tell you what happened. I'm a music minister at a church called Bible Fellowship Church, and the pastor, his name is Ralph Farley, and he likes to fish. I heard he loves to fish, and one day last year he said, "Hey man, you want to go fishing?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I never caught a fish because I'm not patient enough." He said, "Let's go." We went over to Bolivar Peninsula over there, down in Galveston area. And we began to fish. And listen, that's the first fish I ever caught in my life.
I ain't never seen nobody catch.
And when it hit my, when the fish hit my line, it pulled me like 2 or 3 steps. I said, "Whoa." I said, I got a bite. Well, they didn't believe me. I said, I'm serious. It's pulling me. And when Ralph Foley, when he saw me struggling, he said, you do. It took six men, and they held me by my legs while I hung over the pier and pulled the fish up. Yes, sir. Yeah.
That fish was huge. For you listening, those of you that are listening to the broadcast, I put a picture of the fish in the cycle along with the video of my brother Tony Copeland. Tony Good Time
Copeland.
That's
the first fish I ever caught. And now, you know what? I haven't been fishing since. I have my fishing license. I have all of that. But I'm amazed, man. I caught that fish.
Man, I tell you what, if I would have caught a fish that big, that fish there, you should have been packing a pistol.
You know, we couldn't fit him into the cooler.
Man, oh man. Well, I'm going to play.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Hey, let me have a little bit of humor here. The only thing was missing. What if I would have opened his mouth and, like Jesus told Peter, go get the corn out of his mouth, and gold was in his mouth?
Oh man, that would have been it. That fish was big enough to hold a whole lot of gold, boy. He was huge. Hey, I'm going to play another one of your songs here, if it's okay with you. But I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you first about your dad, man. Your dad looks like a young man. Does he still play?
Oh, you know what? Are you looking at the picture with him, and I'm standing beside him, and he has a bass guitar?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man. Actually, that shot is when we went down to Virginia, because on my album there's a song called Just My Imagination. You might know it from The Temptations, but we're gonna place it on. It's on the new Waterfalls album, Just My Imagination, and we went down to the East Coast. We went over to the East Coast to get this lead singer. His name is Reginald Halsey. And also his son did a line too, Reginald Halsey Jr., on the album. We were there to record them. So I stopped by my father's house. That's the house that I grew up in. Bass guitar is actually his. He sits it on a stand. He has an Ampeg amplifier. And he, as I understand, he practices all the time. I don't know if he play in church. I think he play in church with it sometime. But it all started with him. Yeah, he brought me my first instrument.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna play this song. I wanna play Playing. Is that okay?
Oh, that's your favorite. Come on.
That's my favorite, man. We gonna cue it up now. Y'all folks, hold on. And Joe, I'm gonna check with you and see if you have some questions, because I sure appreciate you coming on the air with us. Okay. Let me play Playing, and Joe, you I'm gonna make your mic live when we come back. Okay, bro.
Thank you.
Man, I just hate to turn that off, Tony. But we got to, the people need to buy the CD. They need to buy the CD.
You know, you can get that one on the CD, baby, on the Panorama View album. You just go to cdbaby.com/Tony Copeland, and you can purchase that right there. 99 cents or, You know
the music has it starts out driving you, and it just it's one of them CDs you put that song in, man, and you jump in your car before you know it, you're in another city.
Oh, sound like you know what you're talking about.
Man, I like the voicing, I like the syncopation. You know, I was before I heard. I think you let me hear a little clip of it. It wasn't even a minute long. This is one of them songs that if you only hear very, very, very little of it, it sort of upsets you a little bit.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Let me check with Joe. Joe, I wanted to ask you real quick,
sir.
if you had some questions for Tony Guitar Copeland.
I just want to say that's some good music.
All right.
Thank you.
That's very good music. I was sitting there listening to it. That sounds great.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. It's one. You know, Tony has his playing style that you can. You know, even though his music makes you happy, you know, when you get to know Tony, I've known Tony now. We started out back in 2011.
2011, right? Yeah. 11.
Yeah, Tony. Tony came on, and then he had one of his friends on, Michael Moneystone Junkin. And when the last time you talked to Moneystone? Yeah, we need to get him back on and talk to him some more. He's got some hot projects going on, and I had mentioned to Tony about a relative of mine that's in it's in movie production. And a friend of mine that does movies, Sean Sportcoat Brown and the legendary John Dawson, and we had talked about an idea that we never knew at the time that we were prophesying, because we had talked about the need to shed light on a lot of the senseless killing that's taking place here in America. With we see the police turning into martial law. Tony, what do you think about that? That's going on.
Well, here's what I think. I think if we may not need to point the finger so much at us as the people, we might need to pay attention to what the scientists and the prophets before us and the ministers and the Bible. Books like that, they mentioned that these things are going to happen. And as I read different books, I can read a book and then I can look out into the world, you know, in real time. And actually, I'm seeing a lot of things that I've read actually happen. Mother against daughter, fathers against son, the love of many growing wax cold. So a lot of people might not understand what's really happening, but it's already been predicted, and I guess that's where I am with it.
You
know, and I wish the people would read more and pay attention and believe what you read. And, you know, let's do the opposite. If evil says to be evil, let's do the opposite and just love.
Love is the key, bro. You got it right there.
Amen.
Love is the key. You know, that's the only thing that's going to give us the strength to deal with these issues is love, you know. And the only way that we can actually exercise true love is being born again by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's the only way we can get into an understanding of what true love is about, because without the understanding of our eternal salvation and our eternal inheritance, we focus on things that are temporal, you know, but the things that's the thing that is eternal. You know, I was just reading yesterday, and the Lord was saying that if somebody, you know, smites you on your cheek, turn the other cheek. Let them slap that one.
Yeah.
Said, pray for your enemies. And the reason why is because we can go through life with a blameless relationship with someone as long as we keep our hearts pure. You know, we can disagree with each other, and it's okay to disagree, but it's not okay for us not to love each other. See?
Well, also, I was thinking, and I like to say this, I try not to say much on a political spectrum because of my career. I'm a recording artist, and my job is to move around and entertain people and cause them to, you know, relax and let down their hair and, you know, and meditate and think on things that are good. My music is designed for good. Okay, but I looked at the situation in Ferguson, and I will say this. I look at the policeman. Every time I see his picture, I have compassion for him, and I believe that the true Christian and the people that have love in their heart, then we need to pray for this brother because what he did can't be taken back. And I know that he's really probably not doing too well. Now the politics has taken it over, and they're saying trial and grand jury and all of that. But what about, and the other brother has gone on to be with the Lord, and he had a fantastic funeral on yesterday. But I'm looking at this guy. He's still here living, and he has nobody around. I hope somebody's around to tell him to repent for what he did.
Yeah.
Even if he feels he was correct, but he still took a life. And I could see the sadness in him, even just looking at the picture. And the picture was a predated picture, but he seems to be very alone. I can sense he's very alone. And if I was to speak to that brother, I would say, God forgive you for that. Ask for repentance and forgive yourself. And not try to stand up and be what the world wants you to be or use you as a tool or a token. And and so he can have peace in his life.
Yeah, that's the same. You know, that's the same thing that that I was telling a good friend of mine that I had on the broadcast not too long ago is Odessa Balmore. We went to school together, her nephew was chased into a church, and they shot him in the church with children around. And this inspired, in Rockford, Illinois, 5 years ago. And it's what inspired John, the legendary John Dawson, and Sean Sportcoat Brown to produce and direct the movie A Clear View, is what the name of the movie is. It's due to come out next year. And the thing that people, you know, sometimes we overlook in our wanting to be mad and wanting to determine who's right and who's wrong. You know, we want to do that. We want to see justice. But the only way to cause some healing is love. Love is the real key, you know. And we have to look, and we have to exercise some compassion, you know. And the first thing, you know, you have to pray for that individual that God would give them the strength. Number one. The first step toward healing, in my opinion, this is just me, is to apologize to the family for what happened, you know?
That's
because
just like
you said, he's still here, and that young man ain't here no more. Now, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You know, God gives us the ministry where we can reckon that young man is in the heavens. We can reckon, and then if we take his view from it, he's in the heavenly realm now.
Yes, sir.
Well, he may not be asking for revenge, you know, any longer. He may no longer be asking for revenge, while us on this earth realm is asking for revenge, because the blood of Jesus cries for a higher calling than the blood of Cain, blood of Abel, who was killed by Cain. See, that blood under the old law cried out for revenge. But in Christ, we're all in Christ now. And Christ, you have to, we look at it from a heavenly perspective, and hanging on the cross, he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So we reckon.
And I do believe, I saw the other young man on CNN last night, and he said that if he, I'm talking about the young man who was with Michael Brown. He stated on CNN last night, if he knew what would have happened that day, he would have stayed in the house. And if he had saw Michael Brown that day, he would have told him to go back in the house. I'm believing that the police officer, had he known when he got up that morning that he would take a life, I think he would have called in or just not went to work. I just don't believe he was out on a witch hunt. I think it got out of control, and evil took over. Now, I'm not saying the brother is evil.
No.
Out of control, and it was lost. You know, recompense and all that was lost, and just safety and speaking. You know, maybe he could have spoke to the brother, but I'm not here to point fingers. I'm just saying he's still living, and I can feel in my spirit that he's all alone.
Well, you know, people listen to your music, bro, and your music lifts up the spirit. You know, I listen to Tony Copeland music, and I'm happy. You know, but what people don't know is that your life, you've had to deal with some hardship too. Even since I've known
you. I'll tell you. You know, I had a brother who was burnt third degree, 99%, at the age of 13 on Halloween day. And the Lord used me to save his life. And then he went away to the hospital for 3 years. He was in the Shriners Burn Institute for 3 years. In Ohio, 3 years, he never seen the light of day. And when he came back, he was scarred considerably, and it just rocked my world. And you know, it's a wonder I'm not crazy. I mean, just see now, because God kept me. He kept me. And then I had a younger brother who was murdered at 22 years old in 1992, my younger brother.
Wow.
And that just broke my heart. And God has kept me. And I think what he has done is he has strengthened my compassion for people and my compassion for right and wrong. I see a lot of things, man, and I look and wonder what things. But once again, we're back to your first, when you first started talking about the topic we're speaking about now, we talked about the ways of the world, and it's already written that these things are going to happen, but there's a way out for people that don't want to live evil. You give your life to Christ, you know, I could sit here and say, well, your higher power, but my higher power is Christ Jesus. And I can't say anything different because there's no way I should be able to play music and produce music like I do without any formal school training. So I'm just saying, I think people need to sit maybe and take a look at your own self. Don't talk about nobody, point at anybody else. Just look at your own life. And take an assessment of your own life, and if you have some things that you need to fix or you think need to be fixed, work on that. And if everybody would do that, Michael Jackson wrote a song called "Man in the Mirror," and then I wrote a song about a female named Pamela Hawson. She's deceased now, and the song was entitled "God Answers Prayer." And down the road here soon, I'm going to get another female to redo that song. It's called "God Answers Prayer."
Amen. Well, I'm going to play another one of your cuts, if you'd be so kind. I'm thinking of, I want to show the versatility that my brother has, and I'm going to play "I Feel Like a Salmon." Is that okay?
Play "I Feel Like a Salmon." Swimming upstream and get back home.
Yeah. Let me play a little bit of that, okay? Hold on.
Okay.
I feel like a salmon swimming upstream to get back home.
Check this out.
I said I feel like a salmon.
That's a fish.
Swimming upstream to get back home.
That's hard.
I'm just living to get through life, yeah. With 6 kids and a wife. In a factory pouring hot steel. Every day I go to work, yeah. In a hot factory pouring hot steel. When it's time for me to eat my lunch, oh, I got dirt in my meal. Oh, oh. It's too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. When I die, yeah, I don't know what's beyond the sky. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh.
I tell you, brother, you about the only brother I know that play the blues and it can make you happy.
Hey, well,
now, I like that, brother. What kind of feedback are you getting on that song? That's a hit, brother.
You know what? Actually, listen, you one of the first radio announcers or radio shows to even promote my material, my new Waterfall
uh-huh.
project. Yeah, so,
man,
because listen,
you.
It hasn't even been released yet.
Yeah.
So,
but
the feedback I'm getting on that song is great. I was doing a radio interview at KCVU and with Harvey J a few weeks ago, and that's Prairie View, the college.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
He played that song, he previewed it, and we had a call to come in from California from Mark Cargill. Mark Cargill is a world-famous producer and a violinist. You can look him up, Mark Cargill, and he writes a lot of music and a lot of TV shows. He does the producing for it. He called in, and he said what you said. He said it's a hit. He said it has
yeah,
everything
it
involved in it, and he liked it. And I was flabbergasted, but he said that's going to be one of the money makers.
Yeah, that one's hot, bro. You can bet on that one there. What inspired you to write that song, bro?
What inspired me to write that song? Here it is, simple as this.
Yeah.
Okay. My manager, her name is Carol Williams, and we had a lot of business meetings. And one day we was having a meeting, and we was disputing something about a performance or a date or something. And she wouldn't bend, and I'm the artist, I believe, and, you know, I think it should be the way that I want it ultimately, but she wouldn't bend. And really, I just inadvertently, I said, you know what, you make me feel like a Simon swimming upstream to get back home. And I said, that's hard.
Yeah, that's hard.
And you know what?
And that you got.
She scoffed at
go
that.
Ahead.
And you know what I said in my mind? I said, well, you know what? I'm going to make me some money. I'm going to write the song called I Feel Like a Simon Swimming Upstream to Get Back.
Yeah. And you know, I like that line that you got in there about don't know what it's on, what's on the other side, because I believe that that can touch a lot of people to at least wake up and consider. You know, we've got so many people moving to the other side.
It takes the edge off about your confidence and knowing. Listen, nobody has come back to tell you. None of your loved ones have come back to tell you. We only have what it says in the Bible about who went across and they asked to put water on their tongue. Who was that in the Bible? Was it Jeremiah? Was it Lazarus?
Yeah, either it was one
that?
Of the prophets.
And based on the Bible, that's the verification that we get that it is true about the other side. So, you know, I don't know what's on the other side, so a lot of people would be afraid of dying, so they don't live their life in a peaceful way because they're afraid to die. Actually, I believe they're running from death, but listen, you cannot run from death just like you did not run from life. We didn't know we was coming here,
amen.
And we don't know when we're going to leave here. That's the choice of our Creator. So I put that song, I put that in the song. For that reason.
Hey, you know, seemed like we talked. It's been a while since we spoke, but did I remember you saying you were playing at the at Joel Osteen's church for a while? Were you?
Yeah, last year, a year before last, I played. I'm listening.
They've got a huge choir. What was it like? What was it like playing along, you know, worshiping, playing along with them?
Well, actually, it was great. And what I did a lot of work with the praise team. And I didn't play guitar, and I did sing. I played keyboard. For those that don't know,
okay.
I play bass guitar, keyboards, French horn, piano. I play, I play harmonica. I can play the xylophone, they drums. They brought me on to play keyboard, and it was magnificent. Great musicians and a great praise team, and I had a lot of fun.
Oh, good. I was looking at I was looking at your calendar on Reverb Nation, and I see that you just booked up. You stay booked up. You are in high demand. How can someone get in touch with you for concerts or for studio work, or if they need a highly talented musician and singer, how does someone get in touch with you?
You know what you do? You can call. For booking, you can contact Carol Williams, that's CarolWillims, and she's the manager, and you can contact her at C Dene Records, that's C, D as in dog, A as in apple, N as in Nancy, A as in apple, Y as in yellow, records, RECORDS, at ymail.com, or you can call her at 832- 832-894-1822. 832-894-1822. I will be performing on the 7th of September at the Red Cat Jazz Cafe.
Oh, yeah. Okay, okay. That's down off of Wesleyan, isn't it?
Yeah,
wait,
down,
wait
down
a second. Red Cat is down. Is it? It's downtown Houston. Okay. Tell me about some of your most exciting shows that have taken place recently.
You know, my most exciting show. Now I'll tell you. My most exciting show was earlier this year when I was booked at the Shriners Burn Hospital in Galveston for Children. Shriners Burn Hospital
okay.
for Children, located in Galveston, Texas. Because to see, and I circulated a few pictures on Facebook, and maybe I'll take more,
uh-huh.
I'll send more, but to see those kids who have been burnt beyond recognition and limbs burnt away, melted like candles, to see those children light up when they see me play that guitar, and I allow them to sing along, and I allow them to get involved. Now, you remember now, my brother was burnt very badly, and something began to just tug at my spirit and say, and it said, why don't you go and give back? Because that's the road less traveled. A lot of celebrities and stars and, you know, people like that, not talking bad against anybody, that's not the road they really want to travel. But I get joy out of going there, and we are planning to go there very soon. Now, otherwise than that, you know, you got the lights, the cameras, the action, the limousine rides, and the fans cheering. I'm always excited to please the fans. My next greatest concert would be, I play, it's called Courage to Overcome, a concert to inspire, and I play for the veterans. I'm a veteran.
Okay.
And I played back in June, on June 26th, for the veterans at the VA hospital at the Michael Eder Blakey Auditorium. And they loved it. I love playing for those people because they go out and help serve and protect our country. And I like doing those sort of things, you know.
Okay. You know, I had one of your one of your cuts, and I've been looking for it, and I can't find it anywhere. I've got to find that cut that Jesus Keeps Me Smiling, and I used to start my broadcast with that song. Man, I must have played it so much. I just played it away. I guess
I think when we did a broadcast a few years ago, that's the first one you played. I want to thank you,
man. Yeah, I want to thank you. And I cannot find that cut. You've got to tell me where
I
can get
it. I got to send it to you.
You know, and that cut, okay, I need that because that is really classic. And, folks, you need to grab a hold to this brother's music, and it'll bless your spirit. You know, it'll bless your spirit. It'll have you humming and thanking God as you go through the course of the day. And I want to ask you again, you know, something I want to ask you. What would you say, brother, to encourage the musicians that are coming up, that are wanting to have their music heard, wanting to have their talents and their gifts on display? What would you say to encourage them?
Here's what I would say. If we remember a year ago or so, Frankie Beverly got the award on BET, a Lifetime Achievement Award. And for those who saw that, he had a chance to speak. And passionately, he looked into the camera and he said, and this is what I agree with, and this is what I'll piggyback on and say, play your song. Sing your song. Don't be caught up in singing what someone else wants you to sing, writing what someone else wants you to write, playing the way someone else wants you to play. Do what's already inside of you. Frankie told me one time, he was in Offenbach, Germany, he said, Tony, everything you need to know is already inside of you. So I tell the people who who's coming up in the music world. Everything you need to know is already inside of you. Get in tune and in touch with yourself.
Yeah.
We have loved ones, we have peers, and we have advisors and people we look up to. But ultimately, it's what's already inside of you that's going to make the way for you. So if you play, if you like playing a ukulele, and you're from the hood, quote unquote, don't be dismayed by people saying, "Ooh, you play the ukulele? No one plays that." When they say that, hook your ukulele up and play it as loud as you can, because God says in His Word, He asked a question. What do you have in your own hand? It's what you got in your own spirit that's going to make a way for you in this world. I guarantee it.
Amen. And this is coming, folks, from a brother that started up on a wind-up guitar. This brother started on a wind-up guitar. Man, I'm telling you.
I appreciate
it. People don't know that. Man, bless you. You know, you got a heart of gold, and you always bless my spirit. I always enjoy talking to you. What people don't know is you've had a chance to spend some time with Frankie Beverly. Now, how has he affected your music?
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, everything I said, you notice every time I answer you, I have to answer you with the word God. Listen.
Yeah.
When I was in 1973, however old I was either 9 or 10 or 11, something like that, a song came on the radio, and he was singing Golden Time of Day, and they said Maze featuring Frankie Beverly. Well, in my household, we couldn't listen to blues and R&B. It had to all be gospel and spiritual music, but I used to sneak and listen to the radio. But when I heard this song, I ran in the kitchen and grabbed my mother. I tugged on her dress, literally. I said, "Mama, come in," because you know back in the early days, there wasn't internet, so you had to hurry before the song went off. So I said, "Mama, you got to hear this song," and I was crying. And she said, "Well, what in the world are you crying for?" I said, "This man stole my voice." True story. This man stole my voice. So she came into the room, and she listened. And Frankie was saying, "Golden time of day." And my mother listened, and compassion came on her. The song went off. I think the DJ was, his name was Daddy Jack. And he said, "New by Maze featuring Frankie Beverly." That's how he talked. And my mother looked at me, and guess what she said? She said, "Tony, he didn't steal your voice. He's older than you. Your voice is like his." And she walked away. Now listen. 10 years later, I'm in the military, so I'm on my way to Germany in 1980. But I was on leave coming from Fort Eustis, Virginia, and I went to a concert at the Hampton Roads Coliseum. And it was Cameo, Frankie Beverly and Maze, and a few other groups, I think the Barcades. And when I heard Frankie Beverly, I was flabbergasted because he sounded just like his record. All right, let's fast forward.
Wow.
I fly over to Germany, and when I land in Frankfurt, I'm on my way to Hanau, Germany, to my post, 205th Transportation. And I'm looking at all of these signs in German. I'm on the train, and I'm looking at these signs in German, but in the middle it says Maze, Maze. So I asked a German, I said, "Do you speak English?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Read that sign to me." He said, "Maze featuring Frankie Beverly will be in Germany next month." So I went to the concert. Listen, this is a true story.
Yeah.
I finagled and I got my sergeant to let me off. She said, "Copeland, we can't let you off on a leave because you just got here 3 days ago." And I said, "Please ask the commander." Well, she asked him, and she came back. Look at God now. She said, "I don't know what got into them, but they said you can get off." And they let me off, and I went, and that's where when I walked on stage, I saw everything that was the live album in New Orleans set up, and these two roadies, one was named, his name was Tim Watson, one of the former roadies for Frankie. he was trying to play Jordan Payne on Frankie's piano. And I remember I had a pinstripe suit on and a brim and Pierre Cardin's and a polka dot tie. And they looked at me and they said, "Are you the piano tuner?" I said, "No, but I can play." So they just kept trying to play Jordan Payne. A few minutes later, they looked at me again, Doc, and they said, "Didn't you say you could play piano?" I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Well, here, play." And I started playing Joy and Pain. And I heard the roadies, they said, "The band is here." And then they said, "What is that? Who is that?" And the roadies, Tim Watson, they said, "We don't know who." So I stopped playing. They said, "Wait a minute. The band late anyway. Keep playing." And they started doing the sound check for Frankie Beverly with me playing his piano. This is a true story, man.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Frankie walked on stage. Yeah. And he asked a question. He asked a logical question. He said, "Do I know you?" In other words, this is my house. How did you get in? So you know what I said, "My name is Tony Copeland. I don't know, you don't know me, but you have a nephew who goes to VCU in Richmond, Virginia." He said, "Yeah, all right. You must be talking about Will." And that broke the ice. I said, "Yeah." He said, "All right, you family then." And the rest was history.
Yeah.
The rest was history. And I mean, you know, it's a longer story, and I end up playing it everything, but that's what, and we've been friends ever since, man. I mean,
man,
come on now.
You know,
from a little boy, God was showing me at a little boy. Now, let me tell you why I believe he let me meet Frankie. Now, this is the truth.
Yeah.
Frankie didn't introduce any drugs, no alcohol, no profanity, no evil doings, nothing. We talked, and he told me, he said, "Whatever you do, take your time with your music. Don't let nobody rush you." And that's the words of advice he gave me. I see why God knew that I was going out there. He knew. So he had to find somebody that wouldn't mess my spirit and my soul up.
Man, that's amazing. You know, and see, God will reveal things to you even as a child, 13 years, that you're going to experience in your late teens, early 20s. Power is in his hand. Yes, indeed. That's exactly
that
story, how
God, man, it happened.
I told you about a friend of mine, Randall Bostic, that's been Rick James, and that's the same thing that happened to him. You know, he went to one of these sets where Tina Marie was playing, and when he walked in, he was like you. He was dressed sharp. You know, he was ready. He was ready to meet whatever opportunity God had for him. And he knew that God was about to open the door for him. They called him. He looked like Rick James, and Tina Marie called him up on stage and asked him if he knew the song. And he sang, but I think one of their hits is "You and I." I believe it is. I can't remember it all, the exact song, but I know he sat in and sang that song with her. Amazing. Anyway, Tony, you there?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little.
Okay.
You're breaking up.
You know, sometimes this. Can you hear me now?
But I can hear you.
Hello?
But you're breaking up. You sound like you're in a room. And we understand, hey, we can blame it on technology.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a song on, and I'm going to call into the studio on my phone, okay? I'm going to put on.
Okay, let's do that.
I'm going to put on Joyful Noise. Hold on.
Okay. Yes, perfectly, perfectly.
Okay, good. Yeah, sometimes it's...
Hey, we blame it on technology.
Yes, indeed. Yes, but you have to be smarter than the system, though. And we work around.
So you say we created the system? All right, now.
Yes,
let's
indeed.
Not forget.
You know, I tell you what, I really, you know, you really inspire me every time I talk to you, and I ask you, I don't know if the people here of the audience caught what you said, but when I asked you what was your most exciting performance, and you said to go in and play for the burn victim, you know.
Yeah.
I want to thank the Lord for you, bro, and I just want the Lord I know that God is going to continue to bless your ministry. And we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up. But I'd like to get you, if you would, to say a prayer for the listeners, and a prayer for this nation. And we're going to talk again soon, bro. If I can get you to do that, and I know you always have a busy schedule, but I sure appreciate
you
taking
time. I gotta get back to getting this album ready.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. For those of you in Radio Land who are listening, we ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. You don't have to roll and spit, roll down the aisle. Just listen and believe. We lift up you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we ask that God continue to bless you and bless us, and we ask that God continue to shine his light on us and keep us in the light and not in the darkness. And we ask that the Lord continue to let love abide. Let love, because love is the key to life.
Amen.
It makes everything all right. And we can be one if we just love. And we ask God to continue to bless all the children, the youth, because the next generation belongs to them, because they are the next generation. And we ask for those that are feeling down and those that are feeling like they're suicidal or whatever to stop right now and take another look at the thing. Stop and take another look at it. And you realize that it's not that important to do harm to yourself or to others, because everything shall pass. You know, remember the things that went bad 7 or 8 months ago, that they were eradicated, turned around from bad to good, and that's how life is. We live in the valley or the mountain and the valley experience. Sometimes we're going to be up, sometimes we're going to be down. So we asking you who feel that way just to stop and look up to your Creator, the Lord God, and just say, help me, and believe that help is going to come. We lift up Doc Green to you. And as he's been doing this radio broadcast for 2 or 3 years now, we believe in that he will expand. Actually, I believe that he will expand to mainstream radio or some TV entity, not because he wants fame and glory, but because his voice is needed and his compassion to allow the have not to be heard, because everybody has. So I'm wrapping this up, Lord. I'm thanking you for the time to be a blessing to you, and I'm thanking you for blessing me. And we ask you to continue to look on the world, the president, and all of the presidents of the world. You know, you're not just the God of America, but you're the God of the world. So you have the whole world in your hands. So we asking you, Lord, to do what you need to do, and we once again ask for peace and love. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. The Lord bless you. The Lord continue to bless your family. Continue to bless the works of your hands. And the Lord continue to put his desire in your heart, because he knows that you're going to carry it out. In Jesus'
Thank
name.
You.
All right. Hey, brother, talk to you real soon, man. It's always a blessing. And you know you got an open invitation. All right?
All right. Peace, brother.
All right. You get me a copy. I need a copy of that song, man. All right.
I'll get it to you as soon as possible.
Thank you, brother. Lord bless you.
All right.
Bye-bye.